Hello and welcome back to Layover Podcast. It's episode 4.
Yay.
I remember y'all have been saying for so long that you cannot wait to record the Layover Podcast season 13, episode 4.
We're living the dream.
Well, we've been saying it for years now.
Yeah.
And it's finally here.
Mm-hmm. It's one of our shorter episodes of the season.
It is, I think. Can we say this? I think it's the shortest of the season. Are we allowed to say that?
Yes, which inevitably you do have to have a shortest of the season.
Yeah.
But so like a little bit challenge heavy, but I think a lot of fun challenges.
Yeah.
And also the teams don't really interfere with each other all that much.
Yeah.
I know I was a bit worried when I thought it was going to be me and Sam taking the Eurostar in episode 1 and Adam and Ben going to Vienna. Man, it's going to be boring episode 1 when no one talks. This is the first episode, I think, where it's been the teams cracking on with their own challenges.
Yeah,
this is a low-stress episode, which I think is good. I think the audience needed a little break. I've been seeing a lot of people being like, I had to skip over parts of whole episodes because I was too stressed out. So this is a nice little break. We just bop around.
It's like a mid-season breather.
You know, see some fun stuff.
I saw a lot of people saying, like, I was covering my eyes during Ode to Joy because, like, I couldn't watch.
Yeah. I mean, these challenge types of you get one shot, they're high stress.
Oh, yeah.
It's true.
You know, entire season can be decided very realistically off of one blow or one line of dialogue. That's a lot.
It's true.
I'll say during this episode, I was pretty jealous that y'all kind of got to Southern Europe because, as the camera conveys somewhat, the weather was not awesome.
It could have been a lot worse.
It could have been a lot worse.
I remember you talking about the weather over in Europe in winter is at least usually better than the weather in North America, at least the northern parts of North America in winter.
I was really hoping that, like, I mean, Tom, from day one, we were discussing two of the combos we wanted to hit were Nice, Monaco, Italy, and Italy, Vatican, both of which would have had lovely weather.
Yep.
I even, at multiple times during the early days of the season, I pulled up the weather for Nice and Rome, and it was like sunny, 60 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
So beyond the strategic influence, of course, I had a little bit of personal interest.
Yeah.
But no, Ben and Adam crushed our hopes.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I have to say, the weather was lovely.
It was very nice. We went vacation mode. And we were forced, due to circumstances beyond our control, to have 3 hours to just have fun.
Yeah.
It's true.
This episode.
Yeah, we'll have to hear what you did with that. But that's for later in the podcast.
Yeah.
So when we start, I'm just in a really good mood. Like, that was the best I'd felt about that for a while, because we had just locked down a second country and just, it's great. Everything's running. The train's back.
Despite us preventing you from looking at the automated bike tower, even.
You know what? I have seen an automated bike tower before. Getting that train was more important.
Wow.
And then I wrote the wrong country on the text message and put a load of emphasis on it.
Yeah. I mean, you had to know that we were going to keep that in.
Yeah, I didn't know if that was going to stay in.
It was too funny.
Them's the rules, Tom.
Yeah.
If there's an opportunity for us to make fun of one of us in the edit for looking a little bit stupid, we got to take it.
No,
just like Adam's Guten Tag.
It was even the wrong flag as well.
Well, at least you were accurate in your inaccuracy.
That's
also
true.
The sudden discovery that you can send text messages on iOS with various types of emphasis really started to ramp up as we got later in the season.
Yeah, big time.
Oh yeah, I loved this. I did not know this until you started doing this, and I loved it.
You hold down, you long press on the send thing, and then there's an option to send it with like some sort of bold text or just full screen effects.
It is really a jump scare when you get a notification that says Tom Scott sent you a message with lasers.
Yes, because the whole phone vibrates a little as well.
Yeah.
Like, it does a haptic effect. Unfortunately, it was the wrong country. But, you know, we got Slovakia. We tied the game.
So walking through the progression of things. So, of course, we open on Tom and I on the train from Breklov to Bratislava, which we are recording this actually relatively closer to release than we normally do. And I saw the comments from last episode with a lot of Hungarians telling us that actually, in response to our last layover, they are very insistent that their trains do indeed suck.
Oh, wow.
Because
we
were saying our experience on Hungarian trains was okay. But the reason why, apparently, is because the Regiojet, at least according to random internet commenters, who, of course, are always 100% accurate, is a Czech company that operates into Hungary.
Ah, Right. Okay.
So that's why this was still, I think, a Regio jet that we were taking from Czechia to Bratislava.
That would make sense.
But those are lovely. And they also make the point that maybe we didn't get the full Hungarian Railroads experience going one station into Hungary, which I guess is fair enough.
That's right. To the border station, you know?
Yes.
They still seem quite pleased. I saw one guy being like, I'm from Hungary and I'm going to rewatch this sequence 100 times.
Which I love. It's a shame we couldn't go further into Hungary. I've been to Budapest and it was, you know, lovely. One of my favorite European, you know, capitals. I remember my main memory of Budapest is that I went there when I was a 17-year-old traveling through Europe on, you know, $0. So I remember staying
at
like...
Am I going to be the one to make a joke about how young Sam looks right now and just say that was last year? Does someone else want to take that one?
Sure.
Well, you know, it's an audio medium. But
it was just my birthday. I'm in my late 20s now.
Wow.
I can't handle this. Anyway, but I remember like I stayed at like some cheapo hotel on the outskirts of the city where the train into the city was like, you know, it looked straight out of the Soviet era, and it probably literally was, like the metro line. But the other metro line was like the fanciest metro I've seen in the world, like gorgeous stations that like look like the Stockholm metro or something. It was just a crazy contrast, and both were delightful in different ways.
My take is that people should vacation in Eastern Europe more. It's very cool and pretty. Everything is quite cheap. I think the people are quite nice and friendly. And it's like, I don't know. I feel like you get like a less touristy vibe too.
Prague would disagree.
Well, not Prague, but you know what I mean. Like,
sure. Anyways, so that's to say, big Hungary fan, except for the politics.
Yep.
Not a fan of that. Anyways, so, oh, here's, I know I'm just dominating the opening moments here, but here I have a question for Ben and Adam. Were y'all taking business class to Rome?
Yep,
we did.
Yep,
we did.
It was our only option.
I noticed the empty seat in the middle.
You know, well, this was crazy because the flight wasn't that expensive. We didn't realize when we got our tickets, our mobile passes, it said business class. And we were like, oh my God, our tickets are business class, which, you know, I don't remember what the flight cost. I mean, it's shown in the episode, but it wasn't crazy. I remember it was a little more expensive than we had wanted it to be, but not by a lot. Like, it was pretty normal. Like, I think it was maybe, what, like 700 total for the two of us or something? Like, somewhere in that ballpark?
Yeah.
And yeah, it turned out it was business class.
So it was the only ticket available?
I mean, it was just the ticket that we got. I mean, it said that it was $700 or whatever to get there. And we were like, yeah, we can do that. You know, it's a little pricier than we'd like, but we can do it. That's fine with our budget. And then we just realized when we got the ticket that it was business class. So I have to assume that only business class remained, but that's a good deal for business class.
Well, except it's European business class where it's literally the same seats and they give you a little snack.
Yeah, I
suppose. You get an empty middle seat and a little bit of food.
The food.
The little bit of food was okay.
Is it worth like multiple hundreds of euros? I guess of Sam's money, yes.
It's worth multiple hundreds of your euros, yeah.
Well, again, to be clear, we obviously would have preferred not to be in business class and save the money from our budget. But
also, it did give you the snack zone gag, which watching this episode back after Sam made his royal decree and you cut to the reader, I fell for that and I knew what was happening. All right. I thought you genuinely had a problem that we hadn't told us about and that there was some kind of shenanigans that got you. No, that was a joke I fell for. Well done.
That we have to give credit to Jack McCall for who did the first sort of rough pass edit on this footage and he found that.
Yep.
Yeah. He, like, exported the clip around that and sent it very excitedly in Slack, and I totally understand why. We were all very happy.
You sell it so well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess kind of messing with the chronology here, because I guess before this, of course, Tom and I, we go and do our Bratislava challenge, which...
Yes.
I was not expecting that we were going to be able to get that.
No, partly because I thought we were only going to have 12 minutes in Bratislava, and we got the earlier train that suddenly existed, and partly because I know we didn't cheese the challenge... We checked the rules. It was anywhere with castle or palace in its name. And the first one was, yeah, I guess technically looked like a palace. But the second one was a building with palace written on the side. And I understand that is absolutely within the letter of the law. And I think arguably the spirit of the law. It felt like we cheesed it a bit to do it that fast.
Yeah, I mean, it just honestly worked out so well that, you know, the materials... Under the stipulation of the challenge, we built a pointy hat that said nothing about the size, and it just happened that there were a bunch of things named. There weren't castles, as we learned at first, but there were palaces within the vicinity of the station.
I feel like we could have made it to those palaces. We had, I think it was like 40-something minutes. I think with a quick hop on a tram, we could have done that. We'd have been absolutely panicking all the way through.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was a world, even if it was strictly, it must be a castle, that we would have failed that one.
I mean, I'll say in your defense, though, I don't think you cheesed it at all. I mean, the text of the rules said that palaces were allowed, and those were both clearly palaces. One of them even had a sign that said palace on it. So, I mean, I think the truth is that that challenge was just not that difficult, at least, you know, for where you were.
We did, for once, have a stroke of luck with those challenges. I will say that. I know it feels like we did have quite a bit of bad luck during this season, but this was the, well, the dice rolling our way.
Well, I feel like we had relatively good luck, excluding Austria, for the Battle of Austria, Hungary, Czechia, and Slovakia.
Yeah.
With, like, the challenges and that. They were not a given, but they were all, I think, at least relative to our average challenge, maybe not the entire game's average challenge.
That's true.
They were on the easier end.
Yeah.
And all doable in the time that we had.
We even had enough time on the way back to the bus station for Sam and I to attempt an episode of Choo 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 Derailed that did not make it into the final edit.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Wow.
Right call. Correct call. But there was a local vending machine that just sold like local yogurt and milk and cheese. And it was very good mango yogurt from there.
I ate a honey cake and it was delightful. This vending machine honey cake. Because it was like a vending machine of local products.
Yeah.
So it was like a local-ish honey cake, which I guess is kind of like a thing in Eastern Europe and Russia and stuff.
I mean, I'm guessing the mango in my drink probably wasn't local, but other than that, the ingredients were like local yogurt and mango, which was great.
Yeah.
I will say, just for what it's worth, because I am the one who cut Choo 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 Derailed out of the episode.
Correct decision.
It's not because I have a vendetta against Choo 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 Derailed, although I do.
Even though you do.
Even though I do, but that wasn't why. The reason is just that Ben and I were on a plane the whole time and there wasn't a lot of footage of us because we weren't doing much. I don't think we had Wi-Fi on the plane or anything, so we couldn't learn much. And we already had to show a lot of footage of you guys just one-sided without anything from us doing the challenge. And so at that point, it was like, no, we need to get you moving to the airport.
Yeah, no, absolutely right idea. We were worried about that bus.
Yes, I recall that.
It's the first time on jet lag that there's been, that is technically like long distance international coach. And as I understand it, you'll normally rule those out of challenges like tag.
Yeah, we don't normally have buses that are that long distance. I think the longest distance bus we've seen before this was in Australia. Question mark? Sam, I think it was the one that you guys took at the end.
Maybe to the airport.
We didn't end up taking, we tried to take one to Canberra.
No, but you took a bus to the airport in Melbourne, the weird airport.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
And that
one
was pretty long.
I'm saying that might be the longest one. Have we ever been on a longer bus?
Well, maybe longest on travel time. I bet this one is actually longer on distance. That one was just like crawling for 2 hours.
Sure.
But we've also, tag, we've allowed long distance buses for the chasers, not the runner.
Yeah, they've just never used them.
No, we did once. We used the Flix bus from like somewhere in Germany to somewhere.
No, we did, but that was quicker. I think we were only on that for like 45 minutes.
Eh.
Or you guys were. You guys were. Sorry.
Sam and I used a bus to go to like Strasbourg, but it was not that long either.
It was not that long.
And I will say we frequently get shit from transit people for not featuring enough buses in our content. We're too much on the train stuff. And why don't we talk about how great buses are? Here's a little bus for you guys.
I did see, because we're recording this a couple weeks later, I did see a comment, Sam, that we could have made it to Cologne Airport from Maastricht on the bus.
Well, we could have made it to Aachen.
Okay.
I'm not sure about beyond that.
Okay.
But maybe. I mean, to address that, like, I did see a lot of comments about other routes.
We were panicking.
Well, we knew when the next train to Brussels was, because we had been game planning either direction. And it was like 3 or 4 minutes later. So we didn't really have time to like research or think through it.
Better to take the one option you know works.
Because if we had missed that train to Brussels, we might not have made it back to Brussels, at least in a comfortable amount of time. So we were like panicking, get on the first train to where we know the route. But anyways, on this one, we were nervous about this bus because the next bus after this to Brussels Airport, or really the next route after this, would have gotten us there like an hour before I think our flight took off, which is doable, but it's tight depending on security and is the bus delayed?
And I don't think that was the bus's starting location. And one of the things about a lot of long-distance coaches, even within one country, is that one traffic jam, and they're suddenly snarled up for a long time, and there is usually no departure board, often no live tracking like you get with rail networks. You just stand there and hope that it arrives at some point. I've had that a few times. So for the bus to arrive on time and be lovely, great.
It was a great bus. But yeah, it was a little stressful.
And we got to see your tag ending location, Adam.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys seemed like you had a lovely little time on the bus ride. I mean, you saw some nice stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We got some good out-the-window footage,
which
is not always the case.
A lot of wind turbines.
Yeah, I mean, we drove through kind of like the historic center of Bratislava, which seemed lovely. I was bummed that our visit was only about 50 minutes long and that Adam never successfully brought us there in tag. Because it looked like a lovely spot. And especially the castle, your end location, Adam, looked very cool.
Yes, it did look cool. Look, I would have loved to have gone to the castle as well, Sam. No one wanted to go there more than I did.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the other weird thing about this bus, they were like sort of doing internal Schengen border checks.
Oh,
you remember that?
Yeah, so as we entered Austria, there was a diversion just... All the traffic had to briefly leave before getting onto the freeway that went into Austria and go through just a side channel where nothing was actually being checked, but the facilities were there for it. Now, God knows the politics of internal Schengen border checks are extremely tricky right now, and I think beyond the scope of this discussion, but I was expecting to have passport out and get checked.
Yeah.
We were just waved through. Everyone was waved through. Cars, buses, trucks, everyone.
Yeah. I mean, my interpretation is that there were, like, I think police officers there. So my interpretation was, like, they were selectively pulling over some cars off of whatever totally non-problematic criteria I'm sure they have. But, yeah, it was the first time I'd ever seen that in the Schengen zone.
If anyone's been in the south of the U.S. in the last few years, it felt like one of those checkpoints you find on the roads that are kind of 20, 30 miles north of the border with Mexico?
Yeah, the ones that are totally constitutionally not allowed but still exist.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was like illegal to do border checks between Schengen countries.
I'm going to repeat my thing about incredibly complicated beyond the scope of this,
okay,
but there are rules that allow them in emergency situations, and different governments are interpreting that in very different ways.
Got it.
Yeah, similar to how it's illegal to pull over people without cause and ask them, are they a citizen?
Yeah.
Right.
But we do it anyways in the U.S. I don't know the exact dynamics of that. People keep fact-checking me when I just say things on the layover, which is totally not allowed, by the way. We make no endorsements of accuracy for what we say here.
No, this is not an educational podcast.
No, I think we actively would like to endorse that it is not accurate.
Just assume everything I say is wrong.
I always do.
Thank you, Adam.
The show kind of hands over to Ben and Adam now, though, doesn't it? Because we're getting back to the airport, we're checking in, and...
Tom has decided we should change the subject.
It feels like a good idea. No one else was gonna.
I was getting there.
Yeah.
No, but you're right. We should change the subject. You get to Rome.
We get to Rome.
Welcome to Rome.
And we get on, like, a weird, like, charter shuttle.
Weird.
Yeah, that was another thing I was gonna ask.
Yeah.
That's not a bus.
It was. It was public...
Look... The standard is that if it is shown as like public transit on Google Maps, it counts. And this was displayed on Google Maps as the transit option to the Vatican. So,
yeah, there are plenty of European airports which will have something that is halfway between a private transfer and a shuttle. I think you frequently find them. I know Reykjavik's got something similar where, it's a private company selling tickets for things, but it is effectively public transit at that point because there's no other good way to get to the airport and back.
Yeah, and I mean, we bought a ticket for it and then there were other people in it, right? But it was weird and it wasn't what we expected it to be. Like, we went to the place in the airport and we bought our ticket and then we got brought to the thing, but then it was, it was like eight of us in, like a...
shuttle.
Sort of like a minivan situation.
I think this is also one of those things where you had so much time that that was not going to affect the game in any way versus taking whatever horrible sequence of
buses. Well, it turned out.
No. Yeah, I'm not trying to litigate it or anything.
No, and admittedly, the thing we were doing is weird. Like, I think we realized that once we got there, which is like, I guess there's probably not a lot of people touching down in Rome and being like, I need to immediately go to the Vatican.
Okay, that was my question. Why did you go to Vatican first?
Well, the reason that we went to Vatican first is that we were like, well, we have to get to the Vatican, right, at some point. And so we might as well just go there as quickly as possible, and then we'll make our way back to the airport from there.
But you weren't tempted to try Italy first?
Well, it seemed like it was a good area to do the Italy challenge.
But why would you do that? What's the point, right? It's like, we have to get 3 miles away from the airport anyway, right? Mm-hmm. So why not just go to the Vatican?
Well, it seems like the same logic for like why you and I, Tom, at the end of this episode, we decide to go to Sweden first. Because yeah. We've already claimed Denmark. They've already claimed Italy. Claim the next country sooner in case, I guess, something changes or something. I don't know.
That's true. And like psychologically, it clocks another point up, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's also like, what if the Italy challenge made us go somewhere? Mm-hmm. Inconvenient, right? What if the Italy challenge meant like just for the sake of argument, what if to complete the Italy challenge, we'd had to go out of Rome to a small town, right? Yeah. Now it's going to be really annoying to get to the Vatican, right?
Yeah, like, at least you know you're going to do the Vatican challenge in this tiny little city.
Yeah, so it's like, let's do the Vatican. We know that's contained. Let's knock that out. And then we'll go to Italy. We'll do whatever we need to do. And then we'll make our way back to the airport.
Yeah.
There was certainly a lot of BTS discussion over recent weeks about what to keep in and what to not keep in the Vatican challenge because...
Yes, good luck with that, chaps.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm ready to talk about it. I'll talk about it.
As of the recording of this episode of The Layover, the Pope is still alive, so...
And seemingly he's better now.
Yeah.
So...
The most awkward possible result is if the Pope were to pass away between the Nebula release and the YouTube release.
Yeah.
But he wouldn't do that.
No, he would not do that to
well,
us.
Yeah.
You know, that would be very rude of him. And the Pope is a kind man.
God would not do that to jet lag the game.
No.
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 Well, yeah. Originally, we had that line, do you think the Pope would like jet lag the game in the trailer? And we really liked it in there. It was really funny. Like, the place where it was really fun and funny. And that was when the Pope was really sick, and we were like, okay, we have to cut this because truly he could die like any day. And then we cut that, and then we were going to cut mention of the Pope and especially the line about the white smoke. Did we leave in the line about the white smoke?
I can't even remember.
I've seen the line about the white smoke, but I've seen only an early cut of this.
I think we cut it to be safe.
Yeah.
May or may not be in.
We had a line where we saw, I think the ultimate decision was that we cut it because we were too scared, but we had a clip where there was like smoke coming out of some area and Ben and I made a joke that's like, oh my gosh, that's why we can't find the Pope. It's because he just died. Yeah. And that's why the white smoke is there. And we say, that means they've chosen a new Pope. And then Ben goes, oh no, do you think it's one of us?
Yeah.
And then that was the end of the clip. But I think we cut that because we are still too scared about what might happen with the Pope. And people got so mad at me in the Switzerland season for rolling dice in a church.
Yep.
Oh.
That I live in fear now.
Yeah.
Look, when I was in Switzerland, it was so cold and the church was like the only place I could go that was inside.
In the hiding location that who chose?
Oh, do you think it was a bad, it wasn't cool enough? That's an iconic jet lag location.
Oh, you were about to say bad, and then you realized that we caught you in 4 hours.
Look, it wasn't the best strategic choice, but think about how fun and cool of a place it was.
It was pretty.
It was a very fun and cool place.
Yes, look, we commit a little bit of heresy on this show, and for that—
But we tried. We really tried. And I will say, people are filming stuff all over the dang Vatican, and we tried very hard to be chill, and we went off into a little area where people were, like, eating lunch. Like, I think it was fine.
Yeah. Anyways, hopefully it is all fine. Hopefully the Pope is good. We like this Pope. As far as popes go, he's a very good Pope. He has the official jet lag Pope endorsement, right?
Yeah, the layover is endorsing the Pope.
Yeah, we need to figure out which next Pope we should endorse. I know this is a very important thing that people are waiting for our endorsement on.
Great.
Well, I haven't made up my mind yet. And so the people will simply have to wait.
We'll get on that.
We'll get back to you. Yeah, our editorial board will form its opinion.
Anyway, we do the challenge. Challenge is straightforward. Thank you to you all, the audience, for knowing art.
Yes, despite me saying that our challenge is quite easy, it feels like you got quite an easy one there as well.
We got lucky.
You need one person with artistic skills and a strong arm and a biro that will write upside down for more than like 5 seconds.
Yeah, we had to reset a few times.
We did have to multiple times go, and I had to like get the pen going again. I think like three or four times because of
that. Must have been really hard for you.
But it was really hard.
Yeah.
Biros do not write upside down. I don't know if that's a well-known fact.
What? Don't write upside down?
Biros do not, ballpoint pens do not write upside
biro?
Down.
Biro? What is that? I've never heard that word in my freaking life.
The inventor of the ballpoint pen was called Laszlo Biro, and that is the name for them, at least in the UK.
Fascinating. Okay. Yeah, it was annoying because it was a ballpoint, mm-hmm. and I kept having to, yeah.
But you got it. You got it.
We got it.
Well, that challenge really was a thing where I was like, man, if we blow that, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Because that was sort of a slam dunk.
And Italy felt like it wasn't entirely down to luck. It could have been in the middle, but that was basically 1 in 4 chance. You don't roll or die high enough to be able to get this.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely a luck-based challenge.
Yeah.
And the reason that scared us so much is because, like, unlike other potentially hard or failable challenges, right? Like, we could have just rolled bad, and then you guys could have very easily come and just rolled good.
Yeah.
And there'd be nothing we could do about that. So that was quite scary.
That was very frightening. Because we also knew that Italy is a pretty attractive steal because it's a big country, multiple airports, some decent connecting hubs.
And also, like, you're still next to a bunch of unclaimed countries. Like, you've still got Slovenia there. You've still got, you know.
Mm-hmm. Croatia,
yeah.
On those lines, I think maybe it's worth at this point discussing why you didn't do the San Marino move.
Oh, sure.
Which, I think for what it's worth, I think Tom and I agree with. Like, we were kind of game planning this on our end.
Yeah.
But I think it's worth explaining to the audience why it was not attractive to... I certainly saw some discussion about, oh, Adam and Ben should have done the land move, taken the train to Milan, maybe stopped at San Marino on the way, etc., which... You almost did. Maybe not the San Marino part. But.
San Marino is actually quite difficult to get to, I think.
It's just really, really hard to get to.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a really long time, like surprisingly long.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that in the middle of nowhere, but like as far as transit option goes.
I actually just typed Bologna to San Marino into Google Maps. It just goes, no, there is no public transit that lets you do that.
It says you can't do it. There's a bus, I believe, from Rimini into San Marino that doesn't show up on transit.
It is technically possible, yeah, but it's incredibly difficult on public transit.
Yeah, it's not good because the thing is, if you're going from Milan to Rome, what you want to take is the super high speed line that goes nonstop from Milan to Rome. In order to go such, even if we did that route, in order to make it so that you stop in Bologna, you have to take a much slower route. Then you have to take a train from Bologna to Rimini. Then you have to take the bus into San Marino. Then you have to take the bus out of San Marino. Then you have to go back. Like, you lose, I think, like, probably like more than half a day.
Yeah. I've driven through San Marino once, and it's a big old hill. It's one big hill in the middle of Italy. And there's only one real good way in and out, and that's from the coast.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not where the high-speed lines run through, I don't think.
No.
Yeah, and Italy's a big country. You know, it's easy to forget how big it is. So it's like getting off that high-speed line means you're moving slow, as we learned in Tag 3.
I actually think for that reason, it might have been even faster for us to get Monaco from where we were. Because, like, at least those trains are faster.
Mm.
Well... Yeah, I think that's actually true.
I'm looking at the map now and realizing, Sam, that if they had failed Italy, there could have theoretically been a path from Vienna down to Slovenia, across into Italy there, then maybe across to Monaco as well.
I actually remember I was dabbling with that. I forget whether we even discussed it, but I was like tooling around on Google Maps because at certain times per day, there were like maybe one or two long distance trains down to Slovenia through Hungary that were like, they didn't end up being attractive, but they were not that far from being attractive options. Yeah. Ultimately, it was just a lot of time. So it was like a question of if we nailed the timing. I think had we missed our flight out of Vienna, getting on one of those longer trains might have been worthwhile.
Yeah.
Because we would have had kind of the rest of the day with nothing really to do.
Mm-hmm.
But I've taken the train from Milan to Monaco, or I took it from Monaco to Milan, actually before Tag 3. It's pretty long.
Mm-hmm.
It takes like a weird route through the mountains and tunnels and stuff. It's like 4 or 5 hours with a connection. So it's not nothing, despite on the map being relatively close. But I was certainly hoping that someone would do that because it's a very pretty area, pretty train, and Monaco's obviously cool.
Also, speaking of having hours with nothing to do, like, you had Rome.
We did.
It's true. So, yeah, I mean, I would say that Rome and the Vatican, the two quickest and easiest challenges that we've had, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the truth is that if we had had two involved challenges, it's not like we had a crazy amount of time in Italy. It just turned out that our challenges were very fast.
Yeah, if you'd have had a Swiss-type challenge in both.
Exactly. Yeah.
I doubt Amy would have written two challenges that close to each other because they would have been done back-to-back. But in theory, it could have happened.
So, yeah, I mean, we were just like, well, we've got this time to kill. And, I mean, there's a little part of you that's like, you should never do anything extraneous just because of the risks. It's kind of like, well, like, should we just go directly to the airport? Because what if all the trains shut down or, you know, the traffic is insane?
Always take the first transit option you can, just in case.
Yeah, but we were like, you know, we have so much time. We're in Italy. We were close enough to the Colosseum. We were just like, let's go to the damn Colosseum.
Yeah, that's fair. That's fair.
And I mean, you know, it all worked out.
I would put this in the category of Tom and I deciding to stay in Vienna overnight rather than in the middle of a field between Vienna and Bratislava.
Yeah.
Where it's like, technically, we might have improved our odds 0.5% by doing this thing. But, you know, we got to keep morale up. We got to have fun. Mm-hmm. Morale counts.
It's true.
Oh, yeah, it does.
So, yeah, I mean, well, what was crazy, though, Ben, was like, we went to the Colosseum, but then on the way, we like saw this other stuff that we didn't even know what it was. And we were like, this looks crazy, too.
Lots of cool stuff.
I actually, that exact thing, whatever it was, I remember having on my very first trip to Rome, like 15 years ago or something, having the exact same reaction to it, which is like, this thing looks crazy. It's so cool. What is it? And it turns out it's pretty irrelevant.
Yeah.
It's just like nothing.
Do you remember what it actually is?
Yeah. I'm trying to find it here. It's like, what was it?
It's like a government building of some sort.
Altare della Patria. It just says it's a monument.
Yeah, yeah. It was something totally random. It was crazy. Yeah, Altare della Patria. Yeah, and it's just like, yeah, it's like not anything. Like, nobody cares about it. Like, yeah, it's crazy. Well, that's the thing. When places are this old, they just have stuff, you know? Like, there's just a bunch of things, I feel like. Anyway.
Yeah, I love it when I have things.
We went to the Colosseum. We saw the people transporting the trophy to the end location, of course. So, you know, that's exciting.
I want to talk about how scary Italian police officers are.
Okay, sure. Go for it.
Every corner, these guys are walking around. And I think that it's just because, like, Italy invented fascism. So they've just kind of got that, like, aesthetic going. That's just, like, what their vibe is. But, like, I get so uneasy when I'm in Italy because you've got these guys with their little hats and their little boots and their big guns, and it's very unsettling.
The Italian police, the way that they are dressed, it feels scary. If you look at their uniforms, especially the more involved ones, it's like you feel like, you know, it's not good.
Seems like you're dancing around something, Adam.
They look like they are like Nazis. Like
they do.
Because that aesthetic is like from that period of history, I think. And like, I don't know, like you see their outfits and it's like, I don't know, this does not look good. They look like they are fascists. Like, I'm sure that the police officers are perfectly nice people, but the uniforms are very scary. And a lot of them have really big guns, too.
It must be some, like I don't think that's how they're dressed in the entire country. So it must be some, like, Rome capital, you know, ceremonial-ish something.
I don't know.
Because I've never seen, I mean, I'm looking at those outfits. I don't remember seeing them in the rest of Italy. they look a little impractical.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know what's going on there. Anyway, and then we went to the train station to go back to the airport, and they have, you know how the Milan train station had that great like food market?
Mm-hmm.
There's just like an identical one in Rome. I think that that,
yeah,
like with the same stores actually, which was surprising. Yep. Like it's the same stuff.
And it was good.
And it was great.
It was good.
And that was great.
And we took the subway there, and the Rome subway is a nightmare.
It was very crowded. Yeah, horrible. And then, you know, back to the dang airport. Pretty easy situation,
mm-hmm.
You know, honestly. Yeah. Again, as we said, this episode is sort of one of our more chill episodes.
Well, it was until we landed in Copenhagen.
Yes, not so chill up there, up north.
Well, sure. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it was completely self-inflicted unchillness in Copenhagen.
Yeah, but we wanted to get to Malmo that night.
We did.
Partly because that would tie the game.
Yeah.
And partly because that would give us more options on the way back out to Copenhagen Airport.
Well, it was a little insignificant in the end as like the reason why, because it was like, we thought that, I mean, throughout the season, we wanted to keep our options open. So we wanted it so that, like, if for some reason we decided first thing in the morning we want to get right on a flight,
mm-hmm.
we could, and with having both countries claimed.
It would be a bad decision because it would leave both countries undefended, but in theory, we could do it.
Yeah, but if, I don't know what it would have been, but if for some reason.
There's a sudden weather system coming in and we need to get out of there. It left more options.
Yeah.
So having done that.
I think the other big part that we were discussing is, like, we had, like, 40 minutes left in the game day.
Yeah.
Which was kind of like the perfect amount of time to just get into Malmo. Whereas like if we had gone into Copenhagen Central, we would have had like an awkward like 20 minutes or something. Mm-hmm. And you probably don't want to pull a challenge with like 15 or 20 minutes to go unless you really need to. So we decided like, let's do the thing that we kind of have the perfect amount of time for and go to Malmo.
Yep. Which involved sprinting through the airport. We landed as far away as I think it's possible to be. I just had to keep running. And I mean, I don't know why you were following me with the camera, Sam, because you can absolutely outrun me. You weren't even out of breath by the end.
Well, we need shots. We need to see you running.
Yeah, I was struggling a little at the end. But also, the flat out run, there's a shot near the end of this episode where I'm running down the travelator at Copenhagen Airport towards the platforms. And that actually got away from me a little. I was sprinting downhill on that. And honestly, not sure I could have stopped there all that easily. Just kind of slightly out of control there.
Yep.
Cut was a whole thing where the train appeared late and we're like, still, can we get in? We got there. Bottom line, we got there and we tied the game.
Indeed.
Yep.
And I think it's maybe worth chatting a little bit about, you know, as we kind of come to the end here, the strategy here. Because I think, and Ben and I allude to this, you guys had a really good day.
Yep.
Yeah.
On day three. Yeah. This is day three,
right? We were
feeling
it as well. Yeah, we felt great.
I mean, I think there was a lot of vindication for your Vienna play, right?
Yeah.
That we had stolen Austria from you. Getting to Hungary had been slow. But then, I mean, the 1-2, to be able to get two countries, get on a flight to another big hub and go 1-2, I mean, that was...
Yeah.
Very, very good. And I think it vindicated sort of the, you had, I think, been setting up to do something like that for a while with like trying to optimize your flight times when you got into places, yeah, et cetera, et cetera. And like, you know, I think that you start to see some of the cracks in my and Ben's system of like, we got stuck in Switzerland. We only got one flight. We had this dead time at the end of the day. You guys, not a moment of dead time. Right?
Nope.
Like
nope.
Zero dead time on that day. And I really think that that is a lot of times what makes the difference is,
yeah,
how well did you prevent dead time, right? Because yeah, we lose just 3.5 hours just gone. And in a 10-hour game day, I mean, that's a lot of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I don't know. I mean, as you see, we are starting to second guess some of our choices here.
It is also worth pointing out that like this is the last easy 1-2,
yes,
on the map.
And you, right, got it.
Yes.
And like once those are scooped up, like the rate at which you can claim countries after this gets a lot slower.
Yes, it does.
And that is like very relevant for the last couple of days.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And especially the relative rate between the two teams. Like it's harder to find a more advantageous speed at which you can claim. But yeah, this flight timing thing, it's unfortunately something that doesn't really translate that well onto camera because like the audience can never have the amount of information that we have. But like it was very influential. And even in major cities like Vienna or Copenhagen or Brussels or whatever, it's like, there are only so many flights per day to the next spot that we wanted to go to.
Yeah.
Like, I think the most I can think of was, like, there were, like, three or four flights during our game day on the route that we wanted. And often, like, two of those would be right in the beginning of the morning. And, like, one of those would be at another time per day. So it's, like, it certainly required a good bit of foresight to be able to hit the flight timings right, which is part of the explanation for why on our side, you know, you see us pretty fixated on like sticking to our route no matter what happens because we have that flight that we've identified,
yeah,
which clearly can like have its upsides and its downsides.
Yeah. I did enjoy the technicality of us crossing the border in a tunnel underwater.
Was it tunnel or bridge?
I can't remember which one it was when we actually crossed the border, but it's like your vehicle has to have its wheels down in the country you want to claim for it to count.
Yeah.
I'm like, is this when we cross the maritime border? Do we have to be on the little island? That's, it didn't make a difference, but I enjoyed the technicality.
Yeah, probably one of the only, well, actually, we didn't play the Eurostar. We at least filmed it, I think, once we emerged in France. But technically, that would have been the same rules.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
But in the end, we surfaced on a little island and sent the text message, so.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a lot to discuss next episode.
Yeah.
I think while this episode might be chill, next episode...
Not so chill.
Not so chill.
Things get a lot less chill.
Not so chill.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we'll see you then.
I think we'll see you then.
See you then.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye.